folks, welcome to another episode of the Snowies Camping Show. What are we, one or two episodes into season three?
Two.
Just second episode, season three. Before we jump into it, don't forget to subscribe. If you haven't watched this before, you can do so on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And you can join in on the conversation in our Facebook group, the Snowies Camping Show Facebook group.
Which may have a name change at some stage soon.
It may have a name change. Yeah, we're just talking about how that fits into include everyone in the group. But yep. It's a closed group or a private group where everyone's there talking about all things camping, camping gear, camping trips, ideas, tips and tricks, et cetera, et cetera. So please join in. Today we're talking about tables, but we've jumped into this season with a slightly different change in, I guess it's a different change in format.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit of a change because we're like maybe, you know, sometimes we just sit down and we talk for 40 minutes about one thing and it maybe isn't super interesting all the time.
Yeah, so we thought we'd throw a few little sort of segments in. So if you don't like it, let us know. And we'll drop them, but we reckon they'll be good. But we thought we'd start off this episode anyway. I don't know if we might do it every episode. It might change partway through. We might scrap it all together. We don't know. But
just having a crack.
Mini segment before we jump into talking about camp tables.
Yeah.
Is new gear. What's new at the moment? So we're in early 2023. What's the latest, coolest things we've seen come into the Snowies range?
Well, I think recently one of the coolest things is probably those Dometic Pico swags because I've personally not come across I added it to my list, sorry, later.
It's not on here. I've got the wrong set of notes.
I added it after. No, you haven't. But I remember when Todd, who's our Dometic rep, he bought them in for us to have a look at before we started ranging them. He's like, what do you think's in this bag? And I was like, Matt, maybe, don't know. Maybe a super small, like a beach shelter or something. No idea. It was a bloody swag.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything like that. So small, so compact, so light. You can just chuck it over your shoulder like a 30-litre day pack sort of thing for the single.
That's a fully inflatable swag, isn't it? So
correct.
It doesn't have like a foam mat rolled up inside. So it's made to be compact.
Made to be compact. And it's made from like a different sort of canvas. Canvas type material.
It's a polycotton canvas.
It's a polycotton canvas.
It's a good quality canvas. It's just thinner.
It's thinner, and you do have to season it and stuff like that because it doesn't have the hardcore seam sealing and the extra lamination and stuff because obviously it's a lightweight thing. So, like a traditional swag, you season it. But just the concept was cool. You know, like if there's a whole bunch of blokes wanting to head out bush fishing trips or whatever, and you've all got a swag, you think about the pack size of a normal standard single swag, huge, whereas you could chuck five of these in the boot and have room for an esky. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's probably a great option for those who don't have a heap of vehicle space too, sedan camping or wagon camping.
Yeah.
Coleman have got a pretty funky looking stove called the Peak One.
It is funky,
Totally different looking. Now, it uses the little generator or regulator
thing arm
that go to the disposable 453. I don't know why it's 453 grams. It's a funny size. I don't know. It's quite
specific. Some of them are like 462 and then some are like 438. It's just,
yeah. I don't know why. It's down
depends
to the
on
gram.
The brand.
I wonder if it's actually that accurate. But anyway, that was a tangent. But it's designed to work off those little disposable canisters and you can obviously use a hose to go to a larger
refillable bottle,
which I'm not sure if you get them anymore because there's a bunch of changes in gas regulations.
I'm pretty sure they're 3/8 BSP connection to a gas bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
But the design of the stoves
looks cool.
It looks awesome. Yeah.
They're smooth and streamlined and schmick looking, like a traditional camp stove.
And the bag or the cover that it comes in is like molded to the shape of the stove
So molded,
just looks kind of futuristic.
Heavily padded and molded. Yeah, you're right. It's futuristic.
It's pretty sturdy. Like it looks maybe a bit tinny when you look at the picture, but it's not. It's a sturdy feeling stove. It doesn't have big windshields. I think I haven't had a good look at it. I haven't turned it on yet. We're going to do that in the coming weeks.
Well, the burners to me, even though there's no windshields, the burners to me, they're super high output, not quite as high as the Hyperflame, but just a little bit less. So they're still incredibly powerful and they look to be recessed into the base of the physical sort of stove platform itself. So when your pots sit on the top, the flame underneath are fairly well protected.
But they're pretty cool looking. Different.
Yeah, they are very cool looking. Worth a look.
Low profile to pack in your car.
Yeah, totally. Whilst we're on Coleman, a lot of people over the last, I don't know, 12 months, 18 months have wanted replacement generators and fuel primers and stuff for their powerhouse stoves the multi-fuel stoves and also the multi-fuel lanterns.
Yep.
And one of the, I think, sales blokes from Coleman has just recently put up in the podcast that they're looking for a new manufacturer and they've thought to be discontinued and not available anymore, but it looks like they're trying to source a new place.
Which would be awesome.
To get them made sometime maybe in the next 6 to 12 months or whatever.
It's been up in the air for a while, hasn't it? But I think they're still actively trying to make sure we can get them, which would be great because they're
really
a unique
good news.
Product. I know I've said it before, but I love my powerhouse stuff. Yeah,
really good news for people.
Just quickly, one more thing we'll mention is the Dirty D Swags from Darchi are now coming out with, they call it the Dirty D CP, which stands for composite pole.
Yeah.
So it's a composite material in the pole. I did a video on the composite poles and just how flexible they are.
Yeah.
They look a lot like the fiberglass poles, but mm-hmm. there's a different material and they're super flexible. And to me, makes perfect sense for a swag.
For sure.
Over the top of alloy poles,
yeah,
which
I
think are great for hike tents, but perhaps not so good
not
for
so good
some
for
of
swags.
The heavy-duty canvas.
And, I mean, it's probably worth prefacing or not prefacing maybe is not the right word for that, but I know that Darchi have had them technically released for a while with the Dirty D, but we've only just got them in because the previous Dirty Ds, we just still had stock of that ages. So, but still the composite poles, you can get composite pole sets from Darchi as well. So even if you do have a pre-CP swag, you can get the CP composite poles pole sets.
Yep.
To replace those
and
down the line.
And potentially for other brands too. You just want to make sure the clips that go over the poles are the same.
Yeah.
Suit the same diameter.
And I'm really glad that's happened because remember Jolly Swags?
Yeah, they always use composite poles
and they were so good.
Yeah, hard to break.
So I don't know why more swag brands aren't getting into it.
Probably
anyway.
A bit more expensive, but.
Let's get into the meat in the sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't mention our other – well, before we go on further, we will have a story of the week at the end of the episode. So you've got to hang around to the end to hear our story of the week. And it's a pretty funny one, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it is now. And you don't see when I get to the end again.
Don't say that. Expectations.
Story.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, table. This is a good timing because I was I had to cancel my camping trip on the weekend because of the heat. But I was packing my table and I've got one of the tables in the Coleman – three-piece picnic set table.
Oh,
so,
yep.
So it doesn't fold, which is kind of cool because it's steady, but packing it's a bit of a pain in the bum and I can actually put it underneath my rear shelf on top of some tubs. There's enough room to slide it in there, provided everything in the tubs is below the top of the tub.
Right.
If it's not, then it's just a case like I got angry at one point because I couldn't work out what it was stuck on and it just wouldn't go in and it has to push all the way in. So it's good to use. It's sturdy, but packing – is hard. I can't just chuck anywhere.
It's quite large
rack,
and they're pretty heavy, right?
I haven't compared it to it'd be heavy compared to something for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not too bad.
It's cool though because they're like one of the only options where you get a table and some benches.
It's been really
in a
handy.
Set.
Yeah. For young, when I had young kids, it was really good.
Yeah.
Because I had two bench seats. So it was easy for them to sit at the table. Things have changed a little bit now.
Yeah.
I don't use the benches as much. Actually, I just use them at home really for the kids. We have backyard barbecues. But yes, but I think I want to change to get something more packable. So things to consider, obvious things that, you know, weight, lighter the better, obviously.
Yeah.
But when it gets lighter, sometimes it also becomes less durable. So there's a balance there.
And that's just not for in terms of the whole weight of your total kit, but also being able to move it around.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And easily, like if it's super heavy and only dad can lift it or, you know, that the stronger person in the family and the kids can't help out, sometimes that's a bit of a consideration.
Yep. Pack size, as I mentioned, where does it go in your car and in use dimensions? So tall people, short people, are you standing at it for food preparation? Are you sitting at it for meals?
Correct, yeah.
All those things. For me, I think what I want to move to but pack size is a big consideration for me because of that flat sort of thing doesn't fit in well. I can overfill the tubs under my shelf if I don't have that there. So I was thinking something more along the lines of the folding bamboo top tables what Zenpai do.
They do, I think it's kit pack.
Yeah, some of those. They fold up so they're not large flat items. They're longer sort of rectangular or square sort of shape. So But I think the pack dimensions is going to, you should largely base it on how you're going to transport it, where you're going to put it, the transport.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. So they come in, there's like a whole range of different options that you can get. A lot of them will be made of aluminium because of like with the frame and even the tabletop to a certain extent, especially with some of those slat pack tables, because obviously it's quite lightweight. It's pretty durable without having, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? Oh, man. Total mental blank. When something is at risk of something. I'm just trying to think.
Is that risk of?
At risk of, yeah, I don't know. Man, let's just scratch that one out, Kieran. Thank you, our producer.
Prone to something?
Yeah, like rust is what I'm sort of getting at there. It's like aluminium. There's less opportunity or less chance that that's going to rust.
Yeah, unless it's in a marine environment and then corrosion becomes an issue.
True. So. But yeah, compared to steel, because you can get some tables that have got a steel frame, which will obviously be
stronger,
and therefore have a higher load rating for the top. But there are, but then they're, you know, the chances of them rusting potentially, especially if you're not really caring for your gear, like if of in frosty mornings, even with condensation around under a gazebo or any sort of rain, or, you know, if your gear's not perfectly dry or it's sitting in your shed for a while and there's moisture in your shed, that it can rust.
Yeah. I think load, you touched on load rating, which we haven't mentioned anywhere here.
Oh, I haven't potentially put the notes down.
But I think materials and load rating go a bit hand in hand. But a lot of these tables come with like 150 kilo load rating. Now, I've never come
even close
to half of that with what I've required for my camp table. So 150 kilo weight rating is probably irrelevant. A steel one's probably going to be stronger than aluminium, but the aluminium is still going to be more than strong enough for what you need for camping. And probably a more important consideration is not with strength, but how strong the frame is to stop it from wobbling too
much. Like stability and stuff. So stainless steel, we don't stock any stainless steel tables, but I was surprised, I think, in the Facebook group sometime last year, I think a thread came up about table options. And a few people mentioned stainless steel and I was like, stainless steel table? A little caveat there is obviously they're like, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500
Yeah.
But if you want something that's bomb-proof and you potentially, you know, you're chucking a bit of fishing while you're camping or you're coastal camping a lot or go out on a boat or, you know, anything to do with that, they were out last year.
The benefit of stainless steel is if you're fishing and you want to use it as a food preparation area, it's really easy to clean. It's durable. There used to be, going way back, I think it was back when Companion or Kookaburra, one of those old brands that don't exist anymore. Companion does, but Kookaburra don't think it exists anymore, had a hammer tone finish table. So it was folded steel with a hammer tone top. Didn't look very flash. It's probably why it went off the market because there was nothing fancy about it. But geez, it was functional.
Was it?
But I haven't seen them around anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Melamine, usually like a laminated sort of melamine top, isn't it? Which will have like
like an aluminium edge cap.
Yeah, yeah. And quite often that'll be aluminium MDF. So you just need to check what material is laminated onto, because sometimes it'll be a composite material that performs better than MDF if it gets wet, because you've got that edge around the edge.
Point.
If the water gets into the MDF, it can swell. So just double check what the melamine top is. Depends on what you want to use it for, but melamine otherwise is quite durable just as a surface.
And I think that MDF, it's often used in tables that are more suitable for entry level. So obviously, you know, they don't come with a massive price tag, and they want them to be lighter, or they're trying to save a bit of a bit of weight with that too.
Yep.
Usually they come either as like, you know, a single solid top or folded in half. Generally can't get anything sort of in that melamine type that packs super, super small, unless the table itself is quite small.
But you can tell what they are, like you said, because they'll have an extrusion around the edge to seal the edges.
Yeah.
Bamboo is becoming more popular because it looks, I know you like the way your furniture looks really in your campsite.
Cool. Yeah.
It's, you know, I guess it's a renewable resource. durable. It's a little bit heavier, the bamboo tops, but a little bit of weight in a camp table is not a bad thing because it helps with stability, I think, keeping it flat on the table. Really light ones tend to kind of rock around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I quite like the bamboo tops. They usually come in a sort of a folding slat style. They're not usually solid.
Yeah.
I don't think, I can't recall any solid
bamboo tops
that I've seen.
Only little small sort of picnic table sizes that might fold in half.
Yeah.
But most of the larger ones, they do sort of do that accordion fold or that slat fold, which is pretty cool. And then obviously there's your classic easy care plastic.
Blow mold.
Usually blow molded, polyethylene, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think Austrail, Coleman do it, Grey, those lifestyle tables.
Yeah. Which you can usually tell because they're, what would be the best way to describe it? It's thick. Well,
lifetime, I think it is.
Lifetime is it? Lifetime kind of make really, really good quality ones, more expensive ones. But then the Coleman picnic table I've got is also blow mold. You can usually tell because it's got like almost like an eggshell thing underneath.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And then a firm surface on the top.
I wonder if that eggshell thing is to sort of try and cut down overall plastic for weight, but keep strength and integrity through that structure.
Yeah. But they're a good, reliable option. You can clean it up easily. They do get scratched up and it wears out over time, but they clean up well. They deteriorate over time. Have you got a preference for the top of a table?
Well, obviously my preference is bamboo just because I really like it. I find it easy to – I'm one of those people who's largely driven by aesthetics.
Yep.
In the sense that I'm not going to buy something that looks good if it's useless, but if it comes down to a couple of options – and they mostly do what I want them to do, I'm going to choose the one that I think looks prettier. That's just how it is, the ultimate deciding factor. So I really love the bamboo ones. But I think majority of the tables we've had historically have just been that blow molded plastic just because they're so easy. You know, it doesn't matter. They don't really melt or, they can handle relatively high heat stuff. I think maybe one of them might have the tiniest bit of a melt on it once from putting a super hot pot on straight off the fire, but it doesn't catch on fire. Like, it's just they can get hammered and they're still really functional.
Yeah. I'm with you there. The aluminium ones are good for weight, but I have found that quite often they're not as strong. The aluminium slats will get a little bit flexible. But in terms of heat on top, I think in general you can put stoves on most camp tables, but you do need to be aware that if you're, say, cooking with a big pot, I mean, heat rises, right? It goes straight up. Mm-hmm. So you just need to be aware about how close that burner is. Or the new Peak stove, for example, that'd be quite close to the table. So I don't know what the heat would be like under that. So it's going to come down to what stove you've got as to whether you use it on, say, a polyethylene table. But if you definitely want to be able to use hot things on it, then stick with steel or aluminium.
Yeah.
Even melamine is going to be better than the plastic. Bamboo is going to be fine, but you're going to get burn marks on it.
Yeah.
Which would just look cool. It might ruin your aesthetics though.
Yeah, that is true. You don't want burn marks on your bamboo table. It won't be pretty anymore.
We talked mainly about tops there, but sort of, I think we covered off on frames. It's mainly steel or aluminium frames.
Is steel, aluminium, basically.
And they're all, some are wobbler. Wobbler.
That was awesome.
A new term coined by the show Wobbler.
Yeah.
Wobblier. So usually the more folding they are, the wobblier the table is. So I think you've written that down.
I just don't want to forget it. Yeah.
Still stronger. Aluminium is still plenty strong enough what you need for camping. Mm-hmm. It's the design of the table frame that's going to depict whether it's sturdy enough for what you want.
And even though tables might have a super high weight rating, a lot of the time if it's like that, MDF malamine sort of laminated coated stuff or aluminium tabletops, it does sort of bow a bit. And sometimes over time, even though the weight rating is quite high because the tabletop itself is a bit thinner, you can end up with not having a flat table if that's an issue. So just sort of bear in mind with that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But some good features that also could be a consideration or should be a consideration when you're looking at what table to get is adjustable feet.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many that I can think of off the top of my head that have
adjustable Zempire feet
now. There's a couple.
Zempire do, I think, with their kit pack ones.
Yeah, they do.
When we say adjustable feet, it's usually or quite often just one or 2 feet that are adjustable because you can often get 2 feet you know, contact with the ground level. Yeah. And you just need to adjust the third to stop it wobbling around. A bit like a cafe table has those winding feet on it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't have that on my table. And I think even just a couple of centimetres of adjustment on one leg would be really useful.
And, I mean, even if the table doesn't have it, just a little bit of a rock or something, you know,
a bit of sticks,
trunks just of bark, just you'll level it up, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Height adjustability.
Well, this is a good one for you.
Well,
because you're so lofty.
6'1", not that lofty. That's fairly average.
Actually, are you really? That seems a lot smaller than in real life.
Oh, really?
I thought I would have thought you were taller than that.
Maybe it's because I'm so skinny.
Maybe.
I'm taller than I am. 6'1". Well, that was what I was last time I measured. I'm only getting older, so I'm.
You're shrinking.
6'1" or less. If I'm taller than that now, then something funny's happened.
Maybe it's just because I'm such a midget and I'm always like looking up to you. Hi. Anyway. Digress.
So height adjustable if you want to use it for food preparation, because I know if I do food prep on the table I've got for camping, I like to stand and sit, you know, throughout the day. I don't like just to sit in one spot all the time. I can't stand at the table because I'm bent over too far.
Yeah.
I end up with a sore back.
Sore crook back, yeah.
I don't want to sit too long to prep and I just feel more comfortable standing for food preparation. Yeah, yeah. Shoulders are up.
Sitting down to food prep is a bit strange to me. Like, obviously, awkward. If you're not someone who can stand up for long periods of time or whatever, for sure.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a bit awkward. Yeah.
Got to stand up. So I think having a height adjustable, and I know Quest do one that's got heaps of height adjustment.
I was
going to
mention the
it.
Quest one.
So you could pull that up.
Because that looks like a really solid table as well.
It is
like
quite good. Good quality. The table. Height adjustment's a little bit sticky, which I think loosens over time because they're slightly
They've
tight
used
the
slightly different mechanisms as well. Like, they don't use the locking pins, do they? Like an old vacuum cleaner tube. They use something else.
It's a button you press in the middle, so it operates the locks on both legs at the same time. It's pretty cool. Probably ideal for food prep too, because it's got that awesome basket underneath. But you can adjust that right up to, and I didn't write the heights down, but 90 centimeters maybe off the top of my head.
It is quite tall.
Tall enough for food preparation, so you could adjust that up, but then you could put it down as a dining table as well. Mm. So you could adjust while you're camping or have it as a second table for food prep. So,
go on.
No, you're right. That's okay.
I was going to say, you mentioned the storage basket underneath, which leads on to the other feature that may be worth considering is accessories that come with the table, either optional or not. Storage baskets and things underneath is probably one of the main ones.
Yeah.
Some tables you can buy them additionally, and they'll certain tables. But we're having a cracking episode, aren't we? Fumbling words. Anyway, like you can put up that storage netting underneath, which, you know, leaves stuff off the ground. And some tables come with a proper full built-in cupboard underneath.
Yep. Just keep in mind a storage thing underneath is all good probably for food prep, but for dining, it's going to get in the way of your knees.
Yeah, that's true.
But it does have a pouch on the end as well that hangs, so you could just put salt, pepper.
Oh, this is on the Quest one.
The Quest one as well. Yeah. But you can take those things off. You don't have to leave them on there. So it depends on how you want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a food preparation area, and Coleman do some as well, probably getting more into the camp kitchen style thing, but it's a table that's folding with more of a food prep kind of focus on it. So it's got a little thing on the side that you can put a bin in and a sink and all those sort of things.
So a bit more of a hybrid type table thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, because of accessories and whatever, I'm just going to skip ahead here in case you get confused, but carry bags and or carry handle. So some tables will come with a storage bag. So it's sort of up to you whether or not that's something that's important. I've personally not ever really bothered with mine, but I've also had primarily those blow molded tables. So it doesn't really matter. They can get bashed and dinged up and it's no big deal. Some tables, like I know we've talked or I've mentioned a feature for considering is how it packs. Some of the bifold tables, when I say bifold, I mean the table just folds clean in half. Some of them will fold with the tabletop facing inwards of the fold, and some of them fold with the tabletop facing outwards of the fold. And that doesn't necessarily mean that a storage bag will come with it. But if it's an aluminium or a melamine table and it doesn't have a storage bag, those sorts of tabletops are more likely to sort of be
scratched up
and damaged in a way that isn't as maybe necessarily as aesthetically pleasing as a plastic table would be.
It depends how you pack it in your car. If you've got a neat spot to slide it between the side of your fridge and your soft sleeping gear or something, it's not an issue.
Yeah.
But if you're going to chuck it in with your tool or on top of your toolkit or something like that, then it's going to get scratched up. I reckon in terms of a bag, like a bag can be good too, but some tables come with like a roll of slats to go on top and then the frame, and you kind of need a bag for that to go into two pieces.
Yeah.
But I reckon I would prefer to have an all-in-one.
Yeah, right, okay.
Because you might get it out for lunch, quick lunch stop, right? So I want to be able to just grab it out, unfold it, fold it back, put it back in the car. If you're playing around with two different things in a bag, I'm talking about small amounts of time here, but
take it
out, get it out the bag, put the two bits together, assemble the two bits as one, pull the two bits apart, put them back in the bag, put them in the car, whereas one folding action is a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah.
All in one.
I completely agree with you. Although you do possibly have the flexibility then if you do have a slat top table that has the frame separate to the top, that if you are super tight for space, you might be able to slide the frame in somewhere separate different to spots. The tabletop and find a way to make that work for you. But you are right in the sense that there's a fair bit more to sort of setting those ones up. I mean, you know, marginally difference in terms of time. Like if you're going to do a time trial, it's not that big a deal. Yeah. But like you say, if you just want a no-brainer.
So the packability of the table's come up a number of times here. So it's always been important for me, and it sounds like it's a consideration for you too.
Yeah, for sure.
Not necessarily. A lot of people look at the table, how wobbly is it? Can I sit at it? But I think how it goes in your vehicle, your trailer, or however you're carrying it is probably just as important because you're going to be putting it back in the car just as many times as you're taking it out.
For sure. I agree with that. And I think I was just going to say, if you're someone who's car camping or you have a trailer, those really big large ones or the larger bifold ones, they can bear in mind that they will primarily be in the bottom of everything else. Mm-hmm. Or they would for me. If I'm packing a large flat table, that's going to be underneath everything else. Mm-hmm. So if I'm stopping, maybe just, you know, if you're there for an overnighter and you don't need to fully unpack your car or fully unpack your trailer, or you're just stopping for a lunch stop, you're not going to want to be getting those tables out.
No. I can pack mine on my roof, tied on the roof.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But it's a pain in the bum to take it off if you want a lunch stop, whereas I just want to be able to slide it in and out easily.
Mm.
All right, features. I think we covered off on the features. So we just wanted to mention styles, which you've kind of covered off on. Like there's a dining table. There's some that kind of do both, depending on how you want to set up.
Yeah, I mean the dining tables generally tend to be either large sort of squares or more of a squared rectangular, if that makes sense. It's, you know, the length and the width of it are closer related because you can sit around it and eat dinner. But the other thing to bear in mind is your camp chairs.
Yep.
And not every camp chair is going to sit up nicely to a table. Mm-hmm. So if you are considering having a table that you're using purely for dining, you do need to consider what chairs you're going to use.
Yep.
And your already existing chairs.
You can use the wider camp chairs if you're using a square or Zempire or one that do a round table.
Yeah.
Because those wide chairs aside. But if you've got a rectangular table, two camp chairs next to each other with those big arms that stick out just don't fit. You're going to kind of – you'll both be off. One person or both people are going to be half off the table.
Yeah, so true.
You need smaller chairs for a rectangular table.
I've found that kitchen tables, the ones that are more designed for sort of food prep, tend to be longer and skinnier. So it's like they're designed to be up against the side of your car or up against the wall of a gazebo or something like that. Tend to be less friendly to have people sitting around. But they're usually the ones that I find more functional because we don't really sit at a dining table, especially now everyone's older. We just sit on our chairs and eat off our laps.
Yep.
But I think if you're needing a larger table and you need a bit of a more functional pack space, the more kitchen style ones can be better than the larger big square.
Yeah, like Coleman had one with the little shelf that folds up at the back.
Yeah.
But not so good for four people to sit at then. You could, two people maybe, four not so. I'd probably keep them for more kitchen prep or a table for like a workbench, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yep. Picnic tables, easy one that, just compact little picnic tables.
We've had quite a lot more of picnic tables coming through in the last couple of months, haven't we?
Some fancy sort of looking, nice aesthetically looking ones, yeah, which suit your camp style, but folding wooden ones from Sorensen, I think I'm saying that.
Pierre Sorensen,
yep.
Mm. I think Black Wolf do one.
Yep.
They do a little bamboo round one as well.
Zempire mentioned they've got one like this kit pack with the spike. So you can
I think it's called a spike pack.
Spike pack. Oh, there you go.
That's really cool. Yeah. Although not so cool on hard ground.
No.
Like if you compact clay or, you know, hard ground, not so great. But great for sand or soft grassy areas.
You need to carry a heavy umbrella stand.
Yeah.
In that instance.
And sort of slash.
You didn't even get my joke.
Oh, sorry.
People are going to carry a big heavy umbrella
stand. Did you say umbrella stand?
Yeah.
No, I think I'd heard it, but I just blocked it out of my mind as being something that needed recognition.
And I had a dad moment. Right? And I just say, no one heard me. Say it louder. I keep saying it louder. Someone will laugh until my wife turns around and says, "We all heard you." It wasn't funny.
Yeah. Coffee tables, they're sort of the same as your picnic tables, but they tend to be more of the traditional camp table look.
Just low.
Like I think Outdoor Connection do one that's aluminium framed and it's laminated MDF or whatever, but it looks like wood.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. Yep.
They're ones that you could potentially put next to your chair or between two chairs or something where you want a table. Maybe I would say that would be the primary function of them, to have them next to your chair.
Mm. So for you, your case, you've got a preparation bench and then you might have one of those little tables near your seats or something. So
yeah, I don't personally have a little one. I personally have a little table.
Yep.
But it's interesting that you brought that up though, because I do remember having a discussion at some point with somebody. I actually think one of our listeners, Fiona, who's a lightweight car camper, she uses two different tables because they suit different needs.
Yep.
And I think there was a conversation around that sometimes it is actually better to have two different tables that suit the two different needs that you have, then trying to have like one big one or trying to fit a table that doesn't quite tick both of your boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're smart about it, doesn't necessarily mean like either of those tables have to have a huge amount of pack space or weight or any of that sort of stuff.
And for her instance, where she camps out of a sedan.
Yeah.
So packing two smaller tables is going to be far easier than trying to pack something that's 4 foot long and two foot wide. So
yeah, exactly right. And did you have two tables? Or is it?
Well, yes, I do. Both Coleman. So the Coleman, like that picnic bench set, three-piece picnic set, which you didn't take the bench seats, just took a table.
Yep.
And a side table, like the Coleman folding.
Bifold?
It's kind of almost an oval shape and it's got the leg, like cross legs that fold.
I know
the one.
It sort of looks like an ironing board.
Yeah, that's the one. But that just sat next to the camp stove. So I had somewhere to put food before I cooked, because there's only one table. So the kids are playing a game and I just needed another surface. But that one was really useful, packed pretty much just a loose rope in the back of the car. It's the first thing that come out whenever we open the back of the car. Got set up there at the back of the car so you could then get lunch food. You could get whatever else you wanted out. You could move stuff there to get the stuff behind other things, and then the table went back in afterwards. So that was pretty
handy. That's a good idea. Mm. Yeah, so I think there potentially is a use in an use case argument for having a smaller table.
I think so.
Yeah, as well as a bigger one if that's what you need.
Yep. And we may mention a lot about hiking tables here. It's quite a niche.
We haven't.
Thing.
Yeah, it is a niche thing.
I don't know if we still carry it, but I know GSI made one that was literally about a foot long by about half a foot wide. It was a tiny little table.
Is that the little ultra light aluminium thing?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Which is probably kind of handy, I suppose, if you do a bit of food prep while you're hiking and you just need to put stuff off the ground.
Off the ground, yeah.
Quite expensive for the amount of table space you got out of it, but as all GSI stuff, it was really well made.
Yeah.
Helinox
do table one, and I think actually they do a couple of different tables now.
Yeah, they do. There's a table one and there's a cafe table, and I don't know if they do the table one with a hard top as well.
But
the cafe table's got like a hard top, which is probably too much for hiking.
Mm.
But the table one, and I know Austrail did some in the past as well. And the table top is fabric. So it's just the fabric's just stretched tight when you set it up.
Yeah,
so
like a stretcher bed, but super miniature and taller legs.
Yep.
I mean, I personally wouldn't take it hiking.
No.
It might be something you'd invest in if you did a lot of group hiking.
Yeah. If you could split stuff over. Split it,
you know, someone carries the sling and someone carries, you know, the leg or whatever.
Yep.
But great for motorcycle tourers or bicycle tourers or kayakers or anybody who's on a super light, lightweight trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't sold, I've not ever had many customers come and say, I want a table for hiking or a
adventure.
It's a unique thing. But the Halonox ones are pretty cool.
They're really cool.
I think we've covered off on tables, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy a new table now.
You need to buy a new table.
I should. Trouble is I buy a new table, then I've still got the old one in the shed that's still functional.
Yeah, but then you can maybe give it away or chuck it on Gumtree or maybe.
It's pretty trash. You wouldn't get much for it. Sorry.
Tell us in the group what you end up going with.
I don't know when it'll happen.
Doesn't matter.
Don't
just when
wait
you do
on me to do that. Could be years.
Don't hang by.
Story of the week. This is pretty funny.
This is our last segment. This is our finale segment. Not finale segment, but finishing up with the episode.
So we had a customer put in, was it a warranty claim?
I think so. But it technically isn't technically a warranty. And I'm not sure if the customer had expected a warranty or if they were just contacting us because
they could do. Yeah. I don't know what it was. But anyway, the ants ate their tent.
Yeah. Ants ate the floor of their tent.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
just a hole.
Nibble, nibble. It was like gone.
Yeah. Ants.
I mean,
never heard of
thousands of holes in the tent. And it turns out.
So you've done some research on what?
Yeah. Legitimate Singapore ants is what they're called.
Wow.
And apparently they exist. Lucky Western Australians, only in Western Australia, primarily Northern Western Australia. But so, at certain times of the year, they can be an issue all the way down to sort of Perth.
So you've got a quote here. I assume this is quoted from it.
It's quoted from an actual insect fact sheet.
Okay. We haven't said who it's quoted from, but it's these ants can chew through fabric, insulation and rubber goods, causing damage to homes, cars and electrical appliances.
Mm.
But we know of termite ants here who chew through wood, but I've never heard of ants eating insulation and rubber goods.
And I have no idea how they survive in Singapore with these bloody ants.
No.
I can't believe I've never heard of it before.
No. I don't know how much more information we got from this because we just heard it through another part of the business, a customer service, third hand.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether the tent was like, did this happen overnight or was the tent in storage and it got eaten?
I'm not sure. Part of me wants to, I'd like to think that it was at a campsite because that just makes the whole thing more farcical. You know what I mean? Like it just sounds hilarious. You're going out camping and ants eat your tent floor. But yeah, it's totally crazy. I'd never heard of Singapore ants.
No.
You never heard of Singapore ants. It's a legit thing. And I don't know how anybody in Northern Western Australia survives.
Well, I camped all through Northern Western Australia last year and I still got the floor of my tent. So obviously it doesn't happen overnight.
I want to know if anybody else has had trouble with Singapore ants.
Let us know. How quickly does a tent floor disappear with these ants?
Awesome.
Ants are crazy, right? There's a
crazy.
Oh, my mate was telling me about another type of ant that's just a bit mental. They get together in big groups and they just, create havoc. It's like fire ants. One's
it's
fine,
crazy.
But there's usually a bunch of them. And if there's a bunch of them, then you're in all sorts of trouble. Something crazy ants.
Something crazy ants?
Yeah, something rather crazy ants or something like that. Was
really?
I think that, it was a friend of mine in Queensland recently.
Yeah, right.
So there you go, there's another one. So the Queensland listeners, let us know what the crazy ants are.
Yeah.
I can't recall what the issue with them is. So.
Nice one.
I think they're introduced. Anyway, we should stop babbling. Once again, we've talked for a long time about a simple topic.
Tables.
But I hope it was useful.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to tune in as usual, YouTube or your favorite podcast app and jump in on the conversation at the Snowy's Camping Show. Could be different names soon, but the Snowy's Facebook group.
Correct.
We'll be
there.
See
you next Monday.
See you later.